Perhaps you've noticed that the film industry seems to be infused with a new spirit of brotherly love. Brothers have been doing very well in Hollywood. Joel and Ethan Coen, Albert and Alan Hughes, Bobby and Peter Farrelly. Now come Chris and Paul Weitz. Their new movie about a boy opens around the country this weekend to sparkling reviews. It's based on a novel by British writer Nick Hornby and stars Hugh Grant as a charming solipsist. His conviction is that each man really is an island.
The important thing in island living is to be your own activities director. And I find the key is to think of a day as units of time, each unit consisting of no more than 30 minutes. Taking a bath, one unit. Exercising, three units. Having my hair carefully disheveled, four units.
It's amazing. And speaking of Hugh Grant's hair, Chris and Paul Weitz felt that it was time for him to lose one of his most compelling features.
We were working up our courage to ask him to cut his hair when he himself came in and said, you know, I think I want to do without one of my favorite props. I'm going to cut my hair.
And it was front page news in England, which is...
That is remarkable, isn't it?
It must have been a very slow day. Yeah, extremely slow. But, you know, his forelock was kind of a national treasure.
Chris and Paul Weitz are 32 and 36 years old. In their 20s, they wrote the animation comedy Ants, then directed the huge teen gross-out hit American Pie and another movie with Chris Rock. It's a peculiar thing that writing and directing are drawing more brother duos than, say, orthopedics, but, well, there seems to be no stopping the growth of this phenomenon.
It's kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, isn't it?
It is.
There's a horrible pattern developing. Well, I think it's a snowball effect, because I'm sure that part of the reason we got the job to do American Pie was because the Farrelly brothers had been so successful in a similar vein, so people thought it was kind of cute. And we were just the next available brothers, or maybe the 10th available bunch of brothers that
and
they went
Chris,
to.
And you're Chris, we should be
I'm
saying.
I'm Chris, yeah. Right.
And I'm Paul. Actually, the great Hollywood brothers of the, I guess, 40s and 50s were the Epstein brothers, who were also called the boys. when you're a brother team, you're always called the boys, even if you're sort of entering your 70s, probably. But they wrote Casablanca.
Now, we should say that you guys have a Hollywood background. You had a fascinating grandfather and grandmother.
Yeah, it was from the funny accent era of Hollywood. Our grandfather was from Czechoslovakia, originally Bohemia, but he had come to New York on the same boat as William Wyler, and he ended up being the agent for Billy Wilder, John Huston, and sort of a...
Ingmar Bergman,
a great
collection
of directors.
And his name, your grandfather?
His name was Paul Koner. And our grandmother starred in the first talking picture in Mexico called Santa. And also she was the star of the Spanish language version of Dracula, which is a much sexier version of the classic monster film shot at night on the same sets as the American filmmakers were using. At night, the Spanish actors would come in and do their vamped up version.
What's your grandmother's name?
Lupita Tovar was her stage name.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's her real name. Also, her real name was Ethel Rosenbaum. No, that's her real name.
Now, this film, your newest film, about a boy with Hugh Grant, based on the 1998 novel by Nick Hornby. I've seen it. I thought it was marvelously funny.
Thank you.
Paul, why don't you tell us a little bit about the plot?
It's about a commitment phobic guy who. He gets it in his head that he's going to date single moms, that's the future for him. And in order to meet them, he pretends to have a child and joins a single parents group.
I have a 2-year-old, Ned. He's got blue eyes and sort of sandy colored hair, and he's about 2'3". And his mum left.
Really?
Yeah.
Through this, he meets the fairly disturbed child of a depressive hippie single mom played by Toni Collette, who stalks Hugh Grant and forces him essentially to become a father figure to him.
Well, let's say you're right and I'm wrong. Let's say there's this whole world going on for Marcus that I don't understand and somehow miraculously you do. Well, what are you going to do about it?
I'm not going to do anything. He's none of my business.
Oh, God, you're a selfish bastard.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling him. He always puts himself first.
But I'm on my own. It's just me. I'm not putting myself first because there's nobody else.
Yes, yes, there is. There's Marcus. You're involved now. He keeps coming around your bloody house. I understand you've come into his life for a reason, and you can't just shut him out. You can't shut life out. No man is an island.
She's right, you know.
Yeah, she is.
No, she's not. She's wrong. Some men are islands. I'm a bloody island. I'm bloody Ibiza.
Are we supposed to dislike him?
I think, you are supposed to dislike him at first. And I think that the risk that you have to take and you have to get a studio to be willing to take is to have a character who's quite unlikable. And to enjoy disliking him at first and then have some hope for him. Whereas the tendency with lead actors is never to want to be dislikable. And the tendency with studios is never to want to have a dislikable main character. But somehow Hugh manages to get away with it, I think. I mean, I do think he's actually quite a deep actor, and I think that he is willing to go further in terms of exploiting aspects of his own character than he ever has before. I think he's the worst guy he's been yet. I think, yeah, the one reason you're able to forgive him is that, you know, he's so childish in his enthusiasm for this big new idea, single moms. He actually thinks that you're going to get great no-strings relationships by meeting single mothers. And it's such an idiotic notion that I think you're more inclined to forgive him than if you were actually terribly scheming and malicious.
Well, you've got three dysfunctional people in this film, at least. You've got Hugh mm-hmm. Grant, who's shallow and bored. You've got the mother of the child, who's seriously dysfunctional.
Right.
And then this 12-year-old kid.
He's not really a nerd. He's just the kid who everyone identifies as vulnerable. And part of the reason that he's vulnerable is because his mom has indoctrinated him with the notion of being different from everyone else as a good thing. In order to survive, he's going to have to be a little like other people. I mean, Nick Hornby was a school teacher, and he knows this world. And, you know, in the book, and to a lesser extent in the film, what Hugh Grant's character can teach Marcus is how to be like a sheep, how to be more like other people.
If there's a theme to the movie for me, it's sort of about the tension between wanting to be an individual and wanting to be part of a community, and how too much of either can dehumanize you.
Paul, had you read the Nick Hornby book? Did you read it and then decide you wanted to try and acquire it?
Or? Actually, Chris read it, and we thought we were so clever that we'd found this great film that could, if we didn't mess it up, be like a Billy Wilder film. And he called me up, and we called the studio and found out that it had already been bought for a massive amount of money.
About three years previous, and there's already a director attached. So we had to wait around for quite a while for it to fall apart. I should say to Paul's credit that he did read the book as well. I just read it first.
I got about two-thirds of the way through it, which is why we had to change the ending. It's a really beautiful book.
What kind of films did you like growing up as you got more and more into this? Your first film was Ants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first film we wrote was Ants. We certainly loved Woody Allen films. I mean, Ants was really trading on Bananas and Take the Money and Run, and sort of the earlier Woody Allen voice.
Why'd I have to be born a worker? You soldiers get all the glory. Plus, you get to go out in the world. You know, you meet interesting insects. You get to kill them.
When you were writing Ants, did you know that it was going to get made?
Well, we knew that there was an army of about 200 animators standing by hoping that our script didn't stink. They were in desperate need of a script, and we knew that they were going after Woody Allen. So to some extent, there was a lot of pressure, because if we'd failed, it would have been seen by a lot of people who we are very impressed by it.
But I think we didn't know any better, really. We had 6 weeks to get out a first draft, and the whole thing was just to kind of crank it out.
So when you finished that and it came time to make another movie, why did you want to do the what is now the teen cult classic, American Pie?
Well, for one thing, there was already a terrific script by this guy, Adam Herz, and it seemed like a movie that would benefit from having unpretentious camera work, and that was the only kind that we were capable of. I mean, I think oftentimes first-time directors will make the big mistake of like having the camera swooping around, you know, regardless of what the heck's going on in the story.
But we felt fortunate enough to actually recognize a camera amongst the other bits of equipment. So it was obvious that this would benefit from our particular mastery of cinematography.
Did you ever think about other directors as you have gotten into this and screenwriters? I mean, are there people that you take your cues from?
Well, on a personal level, I think directors, like lizards, tend to sort of want to eat their young. It's not like the most, it's not like everybody's hanging around the Directors Guild sort of, you know, wanting to give advice to the people who are going to screw them out of the next job. I can see Chris wrinkling his brow.
I was just wondering whether lizards actually do eat their young. But
are there certain kinds of lizards?
So, yeah.
newly
discovered species. But I think we were trying to keep other directors out of our minds when we were doing American Pie. But more recently, yeah, I think that that Billy Wilder is the big influence on us, especially in what we've been doing lately.
Do you have arguments?
Constantly. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have an argument about my lizard crack.
No, not at all. I need at least one severe malapropism, you know, in every conversation. We have big arguments before we get to the set, and then once we're on the set, we try not to spook the actors by slamming each other while we're shooting.
Well, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Paul and Chris Weitz, screenwriters, directors, and brothers. Their new movie is called About a Boy. You can learn more about it on our website, npr.org.